2 Corinthians chapter 4.
A second to get there.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. I told her this is probably a different verse than she's used to hearing on such a day. She said, yeah, it is. But I thought it fit in, and it just the thoughts that I had about it. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. The Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day and for the work that Love Life and Abby are doing. And Lord, help us, help our eyes be open to the truth, Lord, and to even the truth of our stagnancy as Christians and a church, Lord, and not only this topic, but others that face us in the world today. We'll commit this into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I thought I didn't get with Eileen with the notes. We had so many things going on, but blind to the truth. We think about that, and we've heard from Abby about the statistics of abortion. I figured it out. A lot of the things I looked at myself, it was 20,000 a week. That's 3,000 roughly. 3,000 abortions every day nationwide. That's just nationwide. 73 million a year in the world. 73. Let that sink in a minute. 73 million abortions in the world every year. And, you know, I thought, well, how did we come to this in society? How did we come to this? And I believe the answer is in our text this morning, that Satan has blinded our minds. He's blinded our minds, and not only about this, but about everything. Listen, Satan opposes everything that God designed, started, moves towards. He opposes everything that has to do with what God's purpose is. And so I got three things I want to talk to you about that'll go along with this. And I think the points are connected, although you may not think at first they are. I think they'll be connected. The very first thing that we know, that Satan has blinded the minds, first point, about the Creator. Satan has blinded minds about the Creator. As I said, he opposes everything about God, everything about God's purpose, and he blinds men's minds to the fact that there is a Creator. And a lot of things came out of that. The theory of evolution when I was in school was a byproduct of Satan blinding the minds to a Creator. If there's not a Creator, then we have to explain the creation. And I remember I had a Jewish teacher when I was in probably the seventh grade, and she had to teach us the theory of evolution. And she told us, she said, "Listen, I don't believe any of it, but I got to teach it because it's in the school curriculum." And we watched little videos, you know, about an amoeba in a puddle, and it turned into an amphibian or a tadpole, and then we got to an amphibian, and then we got to a monkey, and then we got to a man. And so trying to explain that, you know, the Big Bang theory of creation, that, you know, all this matter got together in space and it exploded, and of course, and we know in reality, explosion doesn't usually create much more than a hole in the ground. But we got everything, the perfect universe that we live in, from an explosion. The problem with the Big Bang theory is, where did the matter come from? Where did the space come from? And where did the time come from? That, you know, you got to have those three things to have creation: matter, space, and time. And they can't explain that. It's the one monkey wrench in the Big Bang theory that they can't explain. And so this thought that there's no intelligent design, so what happened when we think that, listen, there's not a God, there's not a Creator, and therefore there's not spiritual life, and so that does have an overall impact on the thought of abortion, whether that would be a thing to do or not to do. Some of the thoughts, Ecclesiastes, this book has been coming up in my mind a lot. In Ecclesiastes 3:18, says, "I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above the beast, for all is vanity. Now, even though God is mentioned in that text right there, the book of Ecclesiastes, was Solomon trying to view everything apart from God. Like, he's viewing life and trying everything in life as if there was no God. So there's conclusions in Ecclesiastes based on the premise that there is no God, even though I think he knew there was, and his conclusion at the end definitely proves that he knows that there was. And so these conclusions are what man would come up with if there is no God. And so I think that this would, and of course Satan would promote anything that man would come up with the thought that there is no God. And I think that, this is one of the things that's involved in this thought of abortion, along with a lot of other things that man comes up with in that pea brain of his, that when there's no God. All the way back when Satan dealt with Eve, told her, he said, listen, if you eat of this tree, he said, you'll become as gods. You'll become like God is what he said. You'll become as gods. And, you can be your own God. We'll look at the philosophy of the world today. What is one of the pro-choice mantra is, my body, my choice, that I have a choice. Listen, and I would agree with that, except there's another body. There's two bodies. There's not just one. And so if it was just a woman, listen, if you're not with child and you want to jump off the Empire State Building, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. It's your body. But there's another body. There's a child there that's there. And so I think this no God, man's philosophy of no God, no creator, is the foundation to where, like, all other sin obviously comes. But even in the choice agenda has come out of that. And so we are apart from God. Man is blinded to the facts that there is a creator. Now, the second thing that Satan has blinded men's minds about is about creation itself, about creation. And we back to the evolution theory that we see. And I think a lot of pro choice people have been blinded to their thought of when life begins. Amen. And I think about my early life when I didn't have a lot of deep thought about this, but when abortion was the topic came up and I was younger and I wasn't saved and I didn't know God, I always believed there was a God in everything. I think that looking back, that my thought was this: well, there's not a baby yet, there's not life yet, so abortion would be okay. Now, I knew, and like I said, I've thought more about it now than I did then, and I know, just looking back, that I subconsciously believed this. I knew that there was life somewhere along the line there, before the baby came out. I knew it wasn't life after birth, that was the only life. When that baby comes out, buddy, that dude is crying, or girl is crying and breathing and got everything they're supposed to have. And so I knew there was life. I never really sat down, though, in an intelligent way and thought, okay, if I don't believe life begins at conception, where along the line does life? Now we see, because that states have laws on how many weeks you can go, see, that philosophy has to be in a mind that doesn't know God. I didn't know God, and it hasn't really thought about it. So they're saying, okay, 20 weeks, I think, was one of the things, and some of them's earlier week. You have to be earlier than that. But so the thought behind that is, well, when we get past that week, there must be life there. They know that. And so I believe that a lot of what's behind people that have this, the pro-choice philosophy, is they really don't have the concept of when life begins. They don't know, and they don't know about God's involvement, in that life. And so I read about this. This is a great illustration. I read this. This is a true story, and I'm going to share this with you. Back in the 1970s, there was a guy, Dr. Bernard Nathanson. He was the leading abortion doctor in the 1970s. He presided over 60,000 abortions. His own office, they performed like 1,500 abortions themselves. He was a avowed atheist. Not only had he done this, but he vigorously campaigned for the legalization of abortions. He thought that he was providing a good service for women and protecting a woman's right to control her body. In 1976, the ultrasound was developed. And up until then, they hadn't seen what they were about to see. And Dr. Nathanson went with some other doctors. They went to see an ultrasound for the first time. And they had a woman with child. And you know how the ultrasound goes, the jelly and all that. And they did an ultrasound. And he looked in there and he could see the baby's heart beating. Not only could he see the baby, I forget what stage the baby was at, but he could see the four chambers of the heart. And he could see them actually moving. And he said that in his mind, mentally, he decided that he was no longer going to call it a fetus. He was going to refer to it as a baby. He wrote in the New England Journal of Medicine, "In abortion, we are taking life. That fetus is not mere tissue. It is a human life." And this is the part that just, through prayer and love, he turned to Jesus Christ and was saved.
Amen.
And he became involved in the anti-abortion pro-life activities, man. I mean, this is great. This is great. That God would save him. And but what happened was his mind was opened up. His eyes were opened up to a truth there. And through prayer, love life is prayer. You know, we're praying, and somebody prayed for him, and somebody loved him, and he all these things started putting it together that this one guy that one time was like the Apostle Paul, man, that was killing Christians and persecuting the church, and God opened his eyes, and he became the Apostle Paul that we read about in the Bible. And so, listen, I believe so many people are misled as to when life begins. Psalms 139:14, the Bible says, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." And I'm tell you who's doing the making too, Mom and Dad. It's not you. It's God. Listen to this. I read this too. At fertilization, sperm and egg touch. In less than one second, a one-cell embryo called a zygote is formed in less than 1 second. It has three things that are going to define life. It has molecular composition. These cells are different from the cells that created it. In other words, the mother. It has behavior, a new behavior pattern that is than the cells that made it. And it has development. It produces more complex tissues, structures, organs that work together in a coordinated way. In other words, we get all that jargon, it's life. Amen. In less than 1 second at conception. Amen. I didn't know that when I was, if I had read that when I was a lost man, when I was a teenager, I would have said, wow, that's life, huh? It's life. That's life at conception. But it goes even farther than that. It goes farther back. Jeremiah 1:5, God said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee," God said. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And that tells us that God, look here, Mom and Dad, you're not as involved as you thought. You are. You're the instruments that God uses. Just like God used Mary. You're the instrument that God uses, but it's a child is God's creative work.
Amen.
But see, if you got a world philosophy that says there's no God, huh? And the world philosophy that says there's no creator, and all those things, see how it all It all works in the philosophy of man's thinking. And so we can only think wrongly. That's all we can do. Satan has blinded and deceived many in the world today. And the third thing is blinded the mind of God's purpose. The Bible says that, you know, we are wonderfully and powerfully made. We're designed and made in divine wisdom by God, for God, to be indwelt by God. Jeremiah was told, not only was he, what I read to you, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, that God went on to tell him that I have sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. I mean, he was already sanctified and ordained to be a prophet, and he hadn't even, before he was formed in the belly of his mother, that God had a purpose for this man. Now, I'm going to tell you what, God's got a purpose for every single human being. Every single human being. Paul wrote in Galatians 1, 15 to 16, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen." Man, Paul said, listen, this was ordained from before I was born that God had this purpose. We're God's creation. We're made in the image of God. And we're not created for nothing. We're not created for nothing. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't know God or if you haven't really sought God, I bet you, I believe that God's purpose through which we are created is higher than what we think our created purpose is. Maybe higher than we think our created purpose is. And it's a lie that Satan tells people that you're a nobody and you're a nothing. He just wants to get you down so that to the point where you can't be used by God, you can't be used by man, can't be used by anybody. And people all over the place are walking around depressed and because they believe the devil, the lies that the devil told. There's people all over the world that are like that. And then you see the things that have, the way the world has gotten. And maybe, you know, maybe you're here, maybe you've listened to the lies, or maybe you just haven't sat down and thought about several of these things that we mentioned here this morning. And you know, living life with a blinded mind. You know, and as Abby said, listen, the church, the government's not going to open the minds to the things of God or the spiritual side of things. You're not going to get, they taught all about evolution in school. They didn't tell us one thing about God, not one thing about God in school. And that was in my day. That was a lot, things weren't as bad as they are now. They didn't tell us one thing about God. Other than when I was in kindergarten, I watched them last night. They were singing somewhere. It was something I watched. They sang "God Bless America." I think it was at a ball game or something. And half of the people didn't even know the word. They just stood there and they was all talking to each other. Nobody, they didn't sing. They don't know the words to God. They taught us that when I was in kindergarten. We sang that stuff. God shined his light. Jesus Christ. He shined his light, his gospel light, that we could see the truth and we could be saved. Listen, think about it. If God saved Dr. Nathanson, he can save you. He'll save you. Listen, it's not, you know, because God knows, you know, as Abby said, listen, with the stats the way they are, 1 in 3, 1 in 4, whatever they are, of women have had an abortion, and any crowd that you come into, there's going to be women that may have had an abortion, and, you know, maybe you carry in guilt, maybe you carry in shame, but listen, God knows that Satan blinded our minds. That's what he's doing. That's what he's been working at. And until we saw the light, until we could see the light, and thank God for that. Thank God that we can see that. Now we know the truth, and now we can help other people and shed light. Thank God for organizations like Love Life that try to point people to the truth, and they see the truth and find out, wow, man, I was on the brink of just making a mistake based on the only wisdom and knowledge that we had, and that's of the world, which is influenced by Satan, and now we have the light. And so if God saved Dr. Nathanson, if God saved the Apostle Paul, I'm going to tell you something. God forgives you. God can forgive us, and He can save us, and boy, it's a blessed thing. And now we know the truth, and we need to share the truth with other people so they too can know. Huh? Satan's Amen. Blinded our minds, boy, but we got the truth of God's word. Amen? Amen. But we want to be in prayer today. We're in a prayer. pray about our nation, our world, 73 million abortions worldwide. We want to pray about that. We want to pray for our week, all the weeks, actually all the weeks. There's somebody down there for 40 weeks down there on Peters Creek Road. You got 40 weeks, right? And down there every Saturday. You know, you don't have to go only on our week. You can go down there every Saturday if you want to. You can go down there and pray with the other folks that's praying. We're going to be down there just next coming Saturday, though. And so think about that. Pray about that. And just think about your own soul. If you've never trusted Christ, your eyes haven't been opened, you know, what a great day to be saved. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray as we have our invitation now, Lord, that we deal with you and be honest with you, open with you, Lord. Confess and come to you, Lord. Fill us with your love. Fill us with yourself, Lord. If there's one here lost, that they'll be saved. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.